Hm?
Komm.
Guck, oder?
Ja.
Ja.
Kann ich beginnen? Ja. Yes, hello and welcome to this presentation about PostgreSQL. My name is Rafael Martinez and I work at the University of Oslo at the Center for Information Technology Services. At the DBA department where I work, we administrate both Oracle and PostgreSQL databases. We got our first PostgreSQL database around 2003. And nowadays we are up in 126 databases and around 18 million transactions a day. So you can imagine the amount of data we are working with. We don't have much time for this presentation, only around 30 minutes, so I'm going to try to give a very brief history about the PostgreSQL project and go through the main features of this database. Everything began in the 70s. And this time, the IBM had a project called Project D, if I remember good. They were going to use it to test new ideas about relational databases. This was a time where the beginning of relational databases started. Oracle was founded in 1977, and they released the first relational database in 1979. At the same time, a professor at the University of Berkeley, Michael Stonebreaker, read some papers from IBM, and he got interested in the relational databases. He has some ideas about how they could work. He started a project called Ingress, where he began playing with all these ideas and see how they work it. After a while, they got a product called Ingress, who was open source. The code from this project was used to start other relational databases as non-stop SQL from Compaq, CBase, who was one of the major actors in the market together with Oracle for a while, was all also based in Ingress. Microsoft SQL Server was for several years the same product as CBase, but distributed under another license and name. So this was the this product was the beginning of in the beginning of relational databases. After the Ingress period, Michael Stonebreaker came with new ideas, and he started a new project called Postgres. It was also an open source project, and here he's continued using all the tests and all the ideas from the Ingress period. They continue the development of this database. And after a while, it was commercialized under the name of Illustra. Was bought from IBM after some years. After the Postgres project was finished, we have to remember it was an open source project. Some students at the University of Berkeley got interested in it. They started playing with it. Seeing what they could improve and make better. At the same time, in this period of time, that internet became more and more available. More people were able to communicate with each other, to coordinate work in this kind of projects. And at the same time, what we call the PostgreSQL Global Development Team was established, and this was a core group of developers who was going to take care of coordinate the work around the PostgreSQL project and try to organize the work around this project. First version of PostgreSQL was released in 1996. with version 6.0. And this was actually the beginning of the PostgreSQL project as we know today. Here we have the timeline of the PostgreSQL project. As you can see, the first years were used to stabilize the code, to implement the SQL standards. After this period, when they have a product that worked, they started implementing the what they call enterprise features, make the code work faster, and do the whole database ready to be used in the enterprise. The last, as you can see here, the last version is 8.3. It was released for a couple of months ago, and they already started working in 8.4. Here we can see the evolution in the number of lines of code since they began in 1996. The last version of PostgreSQL has around 800,000 lines of code. Most of it is C code. The amount of code that doesn't explain the quality of it, but you can imagine the amount of work back this project. As fun, I used what they call a basic Kukumo model just to try to find out a rough estimation about the cost of the of this project. And it came out that we will need, if we were going to start the development of Postgres 8.3 from zero, we will need around a little more than 4 years to do that, to do so. Around 54 developers working full time, and it will take around $38 million to be finished with it. This is just very rough estimation, but it can give us an idea of the amount of work. Now we are going to talk about main features of PostgreSQL. The list is quite long. We don't have time to go through it. But if you're interested, the best thing you can do is just go to the website of the project and read about it. PostgreSQL is a typical server client solution. In the server side, you have a daemon who is listening through a port. You can run several PostgreSQL clusters in the same server using either the same IP on different ports or the different IPs with the same port. What you have is this main daemon that is take care of the initial connections and see and check that if the client can access the database. And this daemon will create a new process that will take care of this connection. So it's a multi-process model. We don't use multi-threading. And this is they decide to do so to be sure that if something happens with one of the processes, that won't affect the rest of the system. Here we have, as I say, the list of features is quite long. I have tried to present the most important ones, the ones that make this database able to be used in an enterprise world. And first of all, we have to say that the database is 100% ISO compliant. It follows very good all the ANSI SQL standards, both 99 and 2003. It implements referential integrity. You have something called multi-version concurrency control. It's something that they use to organize or to control how many users can access the data at the same time. They have something called write-ahead logging. This is actually a transaction log of all the things that are happening in the database. They will use this in case this server, for example, crash, to be able to reconstruct the data and get the database in a consistent state. You have something called point-in-time recovery. It's used to they use some part of the write-ahead logging just for the same, just to get the database in a consistent state and recover for a crash. You have online backups, so you don't need to take the database down to take your backups. They have several replication solutions with different types of implementations. They have table space to organize the data in different disks. They have what they call save points. This is a way of saving your transaction state. If you have very, very long transactions, you will be able to save the state of this transaction. And if something happened, for example, in the final or in the middle of the transaction, you won't lose all the work done before you can go back to this last save point and continue. They have what they call two-phase commits that is very useful when you're working with replication or trying to implement a cluster solution. They have a great support for indexes and different types of indexes. You can actually use functions to generate indexes based in how this the result of these functions. You can have partial indexes, many different types of indexes too that can be used for different type of data to increase performance. In the last version of PostgreSQL, they deliver full text search, something that was a contribution first, but now it's a part of the core. You have very good support for different protocols for authentication, native SSL, so you can encrypt the traffic from and to the database. And the best of all is that you can actually run PostgreSQL in every operating system out there. Almost all Unix versions, Linux, and Windows. For developers, Postgres is really good too because it gives you the opportunity of making the product or the core functionality even better. You can create store procedures in almost every single language you find out there. The core deliver both 3.1 by default, the PL, PGSQL, the PL, Perl, and Python. The rest are contributions, but can be used without problems. Then PL, PGSQL is actually very, very similar to the PLSQL from Oracle. So if you work with it, it's the conversion between those two are very easy. You have native interfaces for almost every language out there too. Java support, C, C++, PGP, you name it. One of the great things with PostgreSQL is too that you have, if you need different types of data, you can define them in a very easy way. You need functions that implement things that are not delivered with the core. You can do it in a very easy way. New operators if you need it. And the best of all is that you have, if you have a developer, you have an open API with full documentation so you can use to start working with it. SQL features, I don't know what I'm going to say here. They follow the ANSI SQL standard 99 and 2003. So you have all the main SQL structures and stems are implemented. You have rules, views, triggers. You have all different kinds of joins, subselects. Yeah, you name it. The full list with SQL features can be found in the website. I have tried to find out some of the upcoming features that will come in future versions of PostgreSQL. The to-do list for the project is very, very long. It was a little difficult to find out the main features that will come in the future. But I think this one's it's a good resume of about that. They are working with auto-tuning and auto-configuration, so it will be easier in many cases to use PostgreSQL. They are working in an easy upgrade module, so that will be make easier to upgrade between different versions, something that today is a little messy. Yeah, not messy, but you have to export and import data between major versions. They will continue implementing SQL 99 and 2003 features. They are working very hard in increasing the performance for OLTP systems. Working very hard too for implement the auto and dynamic partitioning of data, something that has to be a little in a manual way today. They will continue with more SOCKX data types. The external tables interfaces is a part of the project where they are trying to make possible to access other database programs in a very easy way, so you can integrate data from different sources in an easy way. They will continue with improving of query optimizer, faster vacuum, which is a maintaining job that you have to run with PostgreSQL, and continue improving the XML support. When you talk about support, both of the for customers and for the project. The main source of support when you work with PostgreSQL is the PostgreSQL community or project community. It works through mailing lists. They have different types of mailing lists where you can contact both developers and other users to just ask your problem or tell them, listen, this doesn't work. It works very good. I mean, PostgreSQL project is one of the projects since I began in 1995 using open source. It's one of the projects with a high quality, both in the software that they deliver and the professionalism of the people working in the project. So they treat you always with respect and they help you very, very fast. Since we started using PostgreSQL at the university, we have two or three problems with some corner cases that were very difficult to find out. We contacted the developers and got help the same day. And in a couple of days, we have a patch that fixed these problems we had. And of course, that patch was introduced in the next official version of PostgreSQL. You have a bunch of enterprises around the PostgreSQL project. They both offer customer support to customers if you want. They support the PostgreSQL project in itself. Most of the developers in the core team are working in one of these enterprises. Are people working in Sun, Red Hat, Enterprise DB, Unisys, Fujitsu? They are huge enterprises that support the project and customers in every way. And to finish, we started with asking us what, why this database is so powerful, and I tried to have some things that can answer that question. The first one is that it's an open source project with the good and bad things, but more mostly good things about it. The quality of the code is really good. You don't get anything if you are a contributor. If you want to contribute to the project, you won't get your code in the core PostgreSQL software if it doesn't have a standard. What they do with this is that the quality is very high, and that what they try to have is a quality software that works. It's a BSD license, and this means actually that you can do what you want with PostgreSQL. You don't have to think about license, the number of licenses you have. You don't have to think about how many servers are running PostgreSQL, how many CPUs do you have in those servers. You just can download it and start using it. It has professional support both from the community and from enterprises. Another thing that it's good for about this project is that from the beginning they wanted to do a software that was easy to maintain and easy to administrate. So it has a very low maintenance and training requirements. It's very stable. If you have been using PostgreSQL before, you know that it's something that just works. You can have databases for months working without problems or downtime. They take very care of the data you are using. If you are using a database, the data is the most important thing for you. So you want a software that takes care of the data and that doesn't corrupt or lose it. It has an excellent performance, especially in environments with high volume. If you have a system with a high percentage of updates and inserts and deletes, it works very good. And two, if you have many user or clients accessing the database at the same time. It's extensible, so you can do, if you need something that doesn't come with the core, you just can implement it in a very easy way. One of the good things too is that it's cross-platform, so you don't need to use a specific operating system. You can use it in the one you use. And it comes, or you can find, and you find a lot of administration tools around the core that will help you to make your work. And this is what I had in mind. If you have any questions, I'm here just to answer them. We could continue talking about PostgreSQL for days, but in 30 minutes is very short. Yes?
How would you compare Postgres to MySQL?
That's the eternal question you get when you work with this. I have been working with both my...
Repeat the question.
He asked how I will compare MySQL with PostgreSQL. I've been working with MySQL and PostgreSQL, and I could say that when I was working with MySQL, I could not sleep good at night. Don't misunderstand me. It works great for some kind of applications and jobs, but if you really are working with an application where the data is very important, where you need integrity in the data you are working with, I recommend PostgreSQL. In the past, what they were people using MySQL will say is that PostgreSQL was very slow. True, it was incredibly slow. And when the web started, what you needed was something that could deliver your data very fast. So it did work in that time for MySQL. Another thing is that they say usually says that it's very complicated. You don't need all these things that PostgreSQL can do. And what usually happens is that a small project that doesn't need all these things start using MySQL, and after a while, the project gets growing, the data gets more important, more people start using it, and you start seeing the minus of MySQL. A lot of happened too in the last years with MySQL. They didn't have referential integrity, and a lot of some SQL standards were not followed, but all that have got many very well, much better lately. But as I say, easy to use, great performance, scales very good, and you have all the package if you need it. So. Yes? No more? Well, that's all.